Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us lift up our hands to the Lord. Let us surrender our everything to the Lord this morning. We owe everything to our Master. We owe everything to our Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lift up your hands, brothers and sisters. Surrender yourself completely in the hand of the Lord. And He will lift us up and He will make us a wonder to many people. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this morning. Thank You, Lord, that You are a good God. It is not by our merits, it's by Your mercy. Lord, as we heard from Your word, You are good and Your mercy endures forever. And it is by Your mercy that we are alive this morning. Every day, Lord, You pour our lives with Your mercy. We want to thank You, Lord, this morning. Father, as we stand before You, we thank You for the tithes and offerings that has been, Lord, granted to Your work and Your kingdom, I pray. I pray a great blessing upon the lives of the people, Lord. Let none of them who open their hands, Lord, lack anything in their lives. I pray a blessing over them. At this moment, Father, as we are going to break the bread of life, I pray that You speak to each and every one of us. Lord, let us go from here transformed, Lord, in our lives. I pray that You touch us, Lord. Lord, shake us, Lord, from our very foundations, that we may know where we are standing this morning. Bless us all, O Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 As we remain standing, I want you to take your Bibles and let us read a few portions from the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 22. We are going to read a very familiar story of the father of faith, whose name is Abraham. Abraham had to prove his faith more than once. The first time when he proved his faith was when he got out of his country, out of his father's house, out of his kindred. At the call of God, he went straight to a land that he did not know. He left everything without any planning, any destination. But God was with him. And now we come to a great chapter in the book of Genesis. From the life of Abraham, I would name it the story of Abraham and Isaac. Because it is a story of a father and a son. A story that symbolizes and will speak to us this morning of a father and a son who were willing to sacrifice through faith. Amen. I'm going to read from my Bible, which is the New King James Version. You follow with me, whichever Bible version that you have. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 10. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it up on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And so the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. We will pause there for a moment. I want you to turn your pages to the book of Hebrews. We hear the story of what happened in the mind of Abraham as we look at this passage. Hebrews chapter 11. We are going to read just three verses, 17 to 19. Where the writer of Hebrews speaks about the inner condition of Abraham. And like this is what he says. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him a figurative sense. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to learn some things about Abraham, the great man of God, the great father of faith. And we will understand what was going on through his life. Praise the Lord. Before you sit down, can you shake the hand of the person and say, you look good? And we are ready to hear the word this morning. Are you ready to hear the word? Amen. Please have a seat down. Let us look into the word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is the sixth illustration of God's heroes of faith. I've been taking you through different heroes in the Bible, and the more I read about the heroes of the Bible, more my faith is strengthened. I read about Abel, who met with God with his worship of faith. We read about Enoch, who pleased God by his walk of faith. We learned about Noah, who obeyed God by his work of faith. Then we learned about Abraham, who trusted in God by taking the bold step of faith. Last week, we learned about Sarah, who believed the impossible through faith. And today, we are learning about Abraham and Isaac, who were willing to sacrifice everything through faith. Let me tell you a background about Abraham. He was in a good situation in Ur, in the land of Chaldees, when God told him to go from there. He was in the land of Haran with his father and with his kindred. And God told him, go to a land that I'm going to show you. He had to wander from place to place in a tent. Even though he had a good home in Haran, but he wandered in different places. He went to live in Shechem, and then he lived in Bethel. He lived in Hebron. He lived in Beersheba. And during this time, his father... He had to go through grief because the father died in Haran, and then there was an economy collapse. He did not have food. He had to go down to Egypt for survival, and there he had some deception in his life where he lied to Pharaoh, saying that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. And then there was a family dispute with his nephew Lot, who said, I am going to take the best places. And so they parted, and we know the whole story. And finally, God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, and from Sarai to Sarah. I'm going to bless you. And before that blessing could be actualized in Abraham's life, we come to chapter 22, where God decides a test in Abraham's life. This, what God asked from Abraham, is without precedence and without any parallel before. There has been no precedence of God demanding a human sacrifice. It never happened before. What God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your only begotten son, Isaac, to me as a sacrificial offering. It was never done before. There was no precedence. Number two, it was without any parallel, because nobody was asked to give up such a precious gift that Abraham had. But when we read Genesis chapter 22, there is something I want to mention to everybody seated here. There was a purpose that God had in mind. In some translations, we read about temptations. God tempted, or other words that are used, but the actual word is God tested Abraham. There is a time in our life when God is going to test us. This is a test that Abraham had to encounter, and God personally had to tell him, this I demand something from you. What did he demand? He demanded the most precious gift that he had in his life. He had a son in his old age. A son that was impossible to bear. But when he was 100 years old and there was no way, this was the gift of God. God is asking for that gift back to him. He says, you offer your son as a sacrifice to me. I want the brothers and sisters to understand, every problem that comes in your life does not come from Satan. Every problem that comes in your life does not come from Satan. So don't go around rebuking Satan for every problem in your life. There are times when God will test you also. And the more you are mature in the Lord, the more you will be able to distinguish what is a temptation and what is a testing. This was clearly a test that God put to Abraham. And I will tell you, in the Bible, there are three people in the Bible in different times that God tested them. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, God tested Abraham with a big test. When we come to the book of Job, God again tested Job. But Job did not have any idea that it was God who was testing. Satan told God that, look, Job is worshipping you because you have given him everything in his life. If you take away his material possessions, if you take away his children, and then if you even bring sickness in his body, he's going to reject you. He's going to deny you. Amen. Job did not know that. It was a test. When you go through the whole book of Job, he still stands strong in his faith. And he says, I know my Redeemer lives. I will see him. Even if I die and my flesh goes into the earth, one day with my eyes, I will see my God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Job was victorious in his test. Hallelujah. But do you know, in the New Testament, the chief of the apostles, Peter, also had a test in his life. When he followed after Jesus, there was a time when he should have been a witness and said, that is my master, that is my Lord. But before maidservants, he denied even knowing about Jesus. Three times he failed the test. Jesus had warned him, Peter, Satan is wanting to test you. I am praying for you. And that was a test that Peter had to go through. He failed in the test. And we know that behind all this test is God wanting to know if we truly love him more than anything else in the world. Today the question I want to ask you, and what God wants to ask you, is, do you love God more than anything else in the world? Can you answer yes? I love my God even if I lose everything in my life. If I lose my job, I will love my God. I will love my God if I lose my family. I will love my God if I lose my health. You have to say, yes, I love my God more than anything else. This was the test that God gave to Abraham. The clue of the test is here. Look to verse number 2. Genesis chapter 22, verse number 2. When God mentions about Isaac, God says, take now your son, your only son, or your only begotten son, Isaac. And then the words will give you a clue of the test. What does it write there? What do you read there? Whom? What is written in the Bible? Isaac, whom? Can you all read this? Your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Abraham loved Isaac. He was his precious son. He was the gift of God. And God is saying, do you love your son more than me?
that God brought before Abraham. Do you love your son more than you love me? In the case of Peter, Peter denied Jesus. And when we come to John chapter 21, I want you all to turn to that passage. The same question Jesus is asking Peter in the shore as he allows Peter to go back to his trade. Peter had left his fishing business and had followed Jesus, but in his backslidden condition, he said, I'm going back to fishing. All night he labored, he did not catch a single fish. And then Jesus comes to him in the morning and says, you cast your net, and when he cast, he caught a lot of fish. And Peter understood that this is the Lord. And when we come to verse number 15, this is the key of the test for Peter. Jesus says to Simon Peter, what do you read there? Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? What does these mean for Peter? It means his old profession. It means his boat and his net and his fishing business. Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me more than this? And Peter, the three times he denied, the three times he had to tell Jesus, Lord, I love you. Amen. Jesus, I love you. Lord, I love you. He had to, and then he reinstated Peter back as the chief apostle. And God did a mighty work through Peter. The test that Abraham had is that God wanted to test if Abraham loved God more than his son Isaac. There are five things that we can see in the journey. Very quickly I will tell you. As Abraham decides, hears the word of God, there are five things. Number one, this journey from his home to the land of Moriah was a requirement. God did not give him a way out. What do we read? After these things, God said, take your son, take now your son. He wanted to test the purity of the love of Abraham to God Almighty. Number two, the journey was to be made immediately. Amen. No excuses. You can say, no, Lord, let me pray over it. Let me think over it. Let me declare a fasting prayer. No, Abraham did not get a chance to do. He said, take now. Take now. God is not giving a chance of even pondering and thinking and all that. He says, now. And you see what Abraham did? Verse number 3, he arose in the morning, very early. He got his donkey. He took two young people. He took Isaac, his son. It's not mentioned that he talked to Sarah about this, because I think that if he had told Sarah, she would not have allowed him to take Isaac. He did not even maybe tell Sarah. And then he said, he split the wood. So he preparing himself for a sacrifice. And he is starting on a journey. It says he arose early in the morning, which means that God appeared to him sometime in the night time. In the night, God came to him in a dream and said, sir, I want you to take and offer your son as a sacrifice early in the morning. He rose up, prepared himself, started out on a journey. So the second was that the journey had to be done immediately. What kind of journey was that? It's a 3-day journey. He had to walk for 3 days. And then, what was the purpose of the journey? The journey had a clear purpose. Verse number 5. When Abraham makes the journey, and this is where I want you to think about it. Abraham was a man of faith. Look at what he is telling to the servants when he reaches the place. I want you to be clear. The first statement of Abraham is a statement of faith. You think about what? Verse number 5, Genesis 22. It says, I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. He is taking Isaac with him. He knows that he has to kill his son. But then he is saying the statement, I will go, I will worship, but we will come back. What does that mean? The answer is found when you turn to Hebrews. And this is where you need to understand. in Hebrews, why did Abraham believe that he will come back with Isaac? Two reasons. We read in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, number one, he was confident because God had promised him that Isaac would be his seed. Isaac would be his seed who will be named after him. Turn with me to Genesis 21. Verse number 12. The last part where God says, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. God says, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Abraham was told by God that your seed will be named after Isaac. So Isaac is definitely going to be there. This was in Abraham's mind. The second reasoning is that when you come to Hebrews 11:19, Abraham believed that, let's say I'm going to kill my son. I will kill him, but then what God is going to do? He is going to raise him up from the dead. And I'm going to get my son back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What a marvelous faith of Abraham. He says, I will go yonder. I say, I'm going to worship the Lord. In those days, when you worship is when you offer something to the Lord, a sacrifice to the Lord. And he said, I'm going to go and worship the Lord. The fourth thing is that it revealed the priorities of Abraham. He said, for me, God means more to me than my son. While they were walking, the son asked, Father, we have everything but not the sacrificial lamb. And the father said, my son. This is the second statement of faith that you read in Genesis 22. And verse number 8, he says, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. By faith he saw God providing a lamb for the burnt offering. And you know why? Because Abraham was a man of faith. The point here is this. Abraham loved God beyond anything else. He had no doubt whose word means more than anything else. In many of our lives, God comes in the lowest of our priorities. We all are ready to be at a job site. If it is 9 o'clock, we are there at 8:55. But when it comes to the things of God, the priorities are so low. Let me tell you, today in the light of God's word, you need to love God more than anything else. This is the first commandment that God has given. This is the great commandment that God has given. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Jesus repeats that in Matthew 22 verses 36 and 37. When somebody asks, what is the great commandment? Jesus says, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Today I want to challenge all brothers and sisters sitting here. We say that we are children of God. But let me ask you, that do we love God more than anything else in our lives? If we love something else, maybe it's our family. Maybe we are concerned about our children. Maybe we are concerned about our job. They all come first before God. I am telling you today, God is telling you that God wants you to be the number one in your life. How many of you can agree with me? Can you lift up your hands and say, praise the Lord? God needs to come first in your life, brothers and sisters. If your work, if your school, if your friends, if your spouse, if your children, they come before God, they are your idol. Because of the 10 commandments that God gave, God said, you shall have no other God before me. We put everything else before God. We put our jobs before God. We put our personal leisure before God. We put everything before God. But God demands that we give him the first place in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You remember the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? Jesus says, you want to be my follower? Come follow me. Go sell everything that you have. Give to the poor and come. He did not want because he loved his possession. He was only one of the few people who did not follow Jesus at his word. It says he went back sorrowful. because he loved his possessions. Many times we come to church, but God is in a lower priority in our life. Let me tell you, we need to bring God back to the first place.
Amen.
Some of us are going through certain situations in your life. Maybe it is a test from God to know where you stand in your love. Do you love God more than anything else? Finally, let me tell you, this journey revealed God's grace, mercy, and provision. Moriah, the word means provided by Jehovah. While Abraham and Isaac were going up the mountain, God, I believe in my imagination, he was bringing a ram from the other side. While Abraham and Isaac did not know, God was bringing a lamb for the sacrifice. And as they went up, Abraham said, I am ready to kill my son. He bound his son Isaac. Now Isaac was not a small boy. Many think that Isaac was an infant. He was a grown up boy who walked for 3 days with his father. I am telling many of our older young people, your consecration is needed for the will of God to be done. If you rebel, God's will not be done. Isaac did not fight with his father. He was a young man. I believe he was able. He could run away. He could fight. But he allowed himself to be laid on the altar. And Abraham took his knife and he was about to kill when God's angel told him to stop.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, now I know that you love me more than anybody else. And that was what we see. When you come to the lower portions, you know, God saw that Abraham was putting God first before anything else. I will tell you one more spiritual truth before I close here. Finally, Abraham had an alternative ram to sacrifice. God did not allow his son to be killed. But do you know that exactly at the same location where Abraham offered that ram, it is a symbolic story of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? When you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1, you will find the answer. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1 shows that the land of Moriah where Abraham offered his son was the very place where the temple was built by Solomon. And it was the very location where Jesus, the Son of God, was sacrificed for the sake of humanity. Abraham took his son to the Mount Moriah and he was not allowed to kill his son. But when they were traveling, I can see in my picture, Isaac with the wood in his shoulder, walking up the mountain as a sacrificial lamb. Do you know exactly like that? Jesus took the wooden cross upon his shoulder. And I believe in my figurative sense, God walked with him on top of Mount Golgotha. But there, God did not stop. He allowed his son to become the ultimate sacrifice for your sins and mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The same symbolism of Abraham killing his son was God killing his only begotten son.
Amen.
Whom he loved.
Amen.
For our sake. He loved us so much. He gave up his son. He allowed him to die on the cross.
Hallelujah.
Because he loves us so much. And today he is demanding the same love. Today, are you willing to say, tell to God, I love you, God.
Hallelujah.
I love you, God.
Hallelujah.
Can you all stand up on your feet?
Hallelujah.
Our time is up here.
Hallelujah.
Can you truly tell to God, Lord, I love you.
Hallelujah.
I love you more than my wife. I love you more than my husband.
Hallelujah.
I love you more than my friends. I love you more than my job. I love you more than my car. I love you more than my comforts. Lord, you come first to me in my life. Can you truly say that, Lord, I seek your kingdom and your righteousness first before anything else? Because God demands love as the first priority from our lives. Can you all close your eyes, please? Every one of you. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Look into your life. Today, God is demanding the same sacrifice. Are you willing to sacrifice yourself before God? I'm challenging you on the authority of God's word. Are you willing to offer your body this morning as a living sacrifice? There is no half-hearted religion. God wants the whole of you or nothing of you. He does not want half of it. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot stand in two boats and expect to be floating on the water. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. For a moment I want you to, this is your decision, brother, sister. It's not mine. God inspired me to tell you this. Many of us have God. You have God in third and fourth and fifth priorities. Many times you are missing the things of God for lesser things. You are willing to worship according to your convenience. If something is not convenient, you are not willing to even spend time in God's presence. I want to speak on authority of God's word. Today, in the light of the Holy Spirit having really revealed to me that unless you put God first in your life, He cannot act on your behalf and He is not going to bless you. You know, when Abraham obeyed God, when you read later in the chapter, he blessed him with all the blessings. He said, I'm going to make your children as the stars in the sky, as the sand in the seashore. God blessed him. He became the father of faith. He became the father of three major religions in this world today: the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. He became the one that everybody looks up to, Abraham, because he was willing to put God first before everything else. Are you willing to do the same? I want you to, hallelujah, for a moment, lift up your hands before Lord in surrender and say, Lord, I'm willing to surrender my body. I want to give my all to you, Lord. Lord, not for my convenience. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to read your word. I'm going to lead a holy life. I'm going to be an example before others. Lord, make me a firebrand. Make me a radical father, Lord, in following after you. Hallelujah. I pray you, if you are making that decision today, God is going to honor you. Many of you are stuck up in some places and you are not able to pull out. You are like in a miry clay. You are deep within and you are not able to pull yourself out. You know why? Because God is testing you and He wants you to come out and declare, Lord, you mean more to me. Even if I don't get that, I will still serve you. Even if I'm thrown in the fiery furnace, I will still be your child. I am not going to forsake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you willing to surrender before God? Can you just pray for a minute? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is your time. God has spoken to you. Maybe He used me as a mouthpiece, but God is speaking to you. I'm telling you on the authority of God's word. Put God first in your life. You are hesitating to make certain decisions, thinking about convenience and what other people will think and what other people will say, and you're putting yourself all from making certain decisions that you know it is right, but you are still holding yourself back. You know that you have time to spend in God's time, but you are putting Him down below in all the other things that you do. You go for work for 12 hours a day and you work like anything, but you are not willing to spend 5 minutes in God's presence, sitting in His presence. Hallelujah. Oh, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, this morning. Hallelujah. Let me close here. The time is out. Let me close here. I'm telling to every one of you, I spoke the word of God as the Lord has given me the inspiration. Now it's up to you to take it or leave it. The choice is yours, because it is your destiny. It is your life. But I want to pray a blessing over you. Heavenly Father, I pray a blessing over every brother and sister standing here. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, there are some of us who are going through some severe testings in our lives. Lord, unless we are saying, God, you mean more to us. I will love the Lord with all my heart and with all my mind, with all my strength and with all my soul. And I will do what you require. I will seek God's kingdom first. Hallelujah. Unless you are declaring and stepping out, God cannot help you. And I'm telling you, you seek God's kingdom first, all these things will be added to you. Whether it is your career, whether it is your marriage, whether it is your job, I am speaking today on the authority of God's word. I am telling you a truth, holding the Bible in my hands. I am telling you, if you put God first, God is going to open up some ways that you can never imagine in your life. Otherwise, you will be struggling and struggling, and you will get up nowhere. Father, I pray for your people that you bless them all. Lead them in your way of righteousness. Lord, let them put you first, Lord, each and every day. Help them to follow after you. Help them to take the cross and follow after you. You have some great plans for some of our people, but unless they are willing to step out of their area of comfort and say, Lord, I am going to serve you no matter what. Father, Lord, I know that, Father, you are going to bless some of our people. Lord, I pray a blessing over them. Guide them and protect them. Lead them in your ways, Father. Thank you for this time. We bless your name. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.